Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, a horrible mix-up. At least 13 civilians killed in an army ambush which went dreadfully wrong in Nagaland yesterday. A Jawan has also been killed. And a SAM Rifles post has been attacked in retaliation by angry locals today. One more civilian has died here. Just what went wrong, we'll try and bring you details. What we can share with you right now as we speak are details of the investigation which have just been announced. A special investigating team composed of an Inspector General of Police, a DIG of Police and three other police officers will be looking into this. This has been announced by the Nagaland government. They are expected to submit their report in 1 month from now. Very important. According to this, all of those involved in this incident have been charged with murder and attempt to murder. Obviously, these are the charges. These will have to be borne out. But this indicates the gravity of that situation. We'll try and bring you details of just what happened. But later on the show, today's a Sunday when there's a lot of news. 21 Omicron cases now in India, in Maharashtra and in Rajasthan. This is now a real worry. As we try and learn more about this latest strain of COVID, how are we in India dealing with it? Well, let's give you first a couple of details which NDTV has been able to confirm from multiple sources on the ground, in the area, on just what went wrong in this particular case. Now, the army deployed a special forces team to ambush militants in this area of Nagaland. Now, according to sources, the Assam Rifles, which is typically deployed in this area, they fight insurgents, militants, and the local police were not, in fact, informed of this particular situation. So the local police and the Assam Rifles, who were actually involved, were not informed. The army used a special forces team in this particular area. Now, sources indicate to us, and this is obviously something that's quite well known, that the Assam Rifles, a paramilitary force, expert at guarding this area. This isn't to say that the army hasn't been, but in this case, there was a massive botch-up. Now, the army team in this occasion was led by a major. They identified a truck mistakenly as a target with militants. They were tracking militants, and they opened fire. Sources indicate that this truck, it was a pickup truck, had about 8 people on board. 6 were killed on the spot. 2 died on the way to hospital. No arms or ammunition have been recovered from this truck, is what sources indicate to us. Now, it is unclear if there was some other weaponry with these people. Who were the people on the truck? We are told that they are coal miners from a local coal mine where they were working when they were attacked, mistakenly attacked in this ambush. Once that did take place, there were hundreds of villagers in that area who surrounded that army unit and attacked them. The army team then opened fire in self-defense. In the process of this battle, as it were, that broke out almost with these soldiers being lynched, in fact, one paracommando was killed and 7 Jawans have been injured, we are told, quite seriously. But in the retaliatory fire by the Indian Army, 5 villagers have been killed and several injured. That number of injured villagers we don't have right now. Now, top military, police and Home Ministry officials are meeting in Kohima tomorrow. And as I mentioned to you, the terms of reference of the investigation have just now been announced.
The bodies of 8 villagers in the back of their pickup truck that was wrongly targeted by the army in Nagaland's Mon district yesterday. The army unit which was deployed was on the lookout for militants and had set up an ambush in the Oting village. Confronted by hundreds of villagers after no weapons were found in the pickup, the army soldiers were attacked and their vehicles were set on fire. They opened fire in self-defense. At least 5 more villagers and an army Jawan died as the situation went out of control. Injured Jawans were taken to hospital. 24 hours later, there is no let-up to the tension in the area and Assam Rifles camp was attacked by angry people in Mon town. This office was also attacked, a man in a car managing to escape with his life. In a statement, the army has said, The incident and its aftermath is deeply regretted. The cause of the unfortunate loss of lives is being investigated at the highest level and appropriate action will be taken as per the course of law.
Even if such information is there, the security forces should have been meticulously examined before they acted upon the civilian in that manner.
Home Minister Amit Shah has reacted, stating, "Anguished over an unfortunate incident in Nagaland's Oting in Mon, I express my deepest condolences to the families of those who have lost their lives." But the situation is still volatile. SMS and 3G services have been shut down across the Mon district. A high-level special investigation team is set to investigate the incident, with senior army, police and home ministry officials scheduled to meet in Kohima tomorrow. With Ratandeep Chaudhary, Bureau Report, NDTV.
Well, joining us now, Lieutenant General N.K. Singh, the former chairperson of the ceasefire monitoring group in Nagaland, somebody who's got immense experience in operational deployments in this area. Nengulo Krome, the Secretary General of the Naga People's Movement for Human Rights. We're also joined by K.G. Kenyer, the Rajya Sabha MP of the Naga People's Front. And we'll be joined by Tokeho Yeptomi, the Lok Sabha MP from the Nationalist Democratic Progressive Party of Nagaland. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. General Singh, in a situation like this, can you try and give us a perspective on what went wrong? How would an elite special forces unit make such a terrible mistake?
You see, obviously there has been a very serious error of judgment and the initial mistaken identity. If there was some intelligence input, then it should have been followed through right till the end and not left in any state of ambiguity. Perhaps the team on ground mistakenly took this vehicle to be the one which they were probably targeting, supposed to be targeting. And that is how these six people in the truck got killed on the spot and two later. And thereafter, obviously, the things went out of control with the locals moving in and confronting the security forces.
So very significantly, General Singh, I'm just interrupting you because this is important. Sir, according to the terms of reference, which have just been announced, it's a police investigation. They are being looked at under 302 IPC, which is murder, and 307 IPC, attempt to murder. This is an area where the Armed Forces Special Powers Act is in place. Now, as I understand it, according to Section 7 of AFSPA, and I quote, "No prosecution, suit or other legal proceeding shall be instituted except with the previous sanction of the central government against any person in respect of anything done or purported to be done in exercise of the powers conferred by this act." Is this not very significant? That it appears that the centre has said AFSPA may be there, but they're still going to be charged and investigated under murder and attempt to murder.
As you rightly brought out, the aspect of clearance for prosecution is certainly there. And whatever will be the outcome of the SIT and the Army's own court of inquiry, thereafter, right, suitable action will be taken. I think that is certainly there.
Let me just go across to Nengulo Krome. Mr. Krome, your first reaction to what I just read out now. I mean, it's obviously a terrible mistake which has taken place. A horrific one. The army will be fixing that mistake. But the fact that prosecution can go ahead despite AFSPA according to civil rules, is that not a very significant step which indicates how seriously the center is looking at this?
It is indeed very significant. And for the first time, the law or the government seems to be overshadowing the Armed Forces Special Powers Act. But we still do not know how sincere this will be carried out. And the fact that it is again said to be a mistaken identity, a case of mistaken identity, this is also another case of, confusion.
Yes.
Because These are not stray cases. These things have been happening in Nagaland, in Naga areas for the last 60, 70 years, ever since conflict began or ever since India became independent and its military started its operation in Naga areas. But today's, as you say, development, giving the civil power more attention.
Yes.
Is significant, again, I say. But how effective it will be, how sincerely they're going to implement.
So let us hope that it is. And let us hope that the rule of law does prevail in this case. I understand, your concerns, obviously. But this, I think, I'm going to, before I go across to Mr. Kenny, I'm going to read just a little bit of this order. We've just got it. There were firing incidents on the 4th of December in an area between Tiru and Oting village involving security forces. 13 civilians were killed. Many others were injured. In this regard, an FIR, and they give the number of the FIR, under sections 302, 307 and 34 of the IPC has been registered at Tizit police station and an investigation taken up by the Mon police station. In order to facilitate free and fair investigation of the case and looking at the complexity of the entire case, which may involve investigation at multiple jurisdictions beyond the Mon district. Hence, it has been decided to transfer the investigation of the case to the State Crime Police Station, and the investigation will be taken up by the SIT comprising of five officials. The senior one is an IGP-ranked officer. Mr. Kenye, is it not significant that there is no mention, at least not so far, that this is going to be an army investigation? The state government says, we are investigating this through an SIT completely, under charges of murder, etc., etc. Go ahead, Mr. Kenya, your views.
Yeah. Yes, as Ngolo Krome has just expressed his opinion on the process for the trial of the case, this certainly is different from the rest that has been earlier. It has overrided the Armed Forces Special Powers Act and the provisions therein. And we appreciate the prompt and swift reaction of the center and the state who are trying to handle this case as a homicide, which is in nature proven 100%.
Yep.
So to start with, that is a positive reaction on the part of the government.
Mr. Kenye, I don't know very much about the Mon district of Nagaland. This is a particularly sensitive time when there were festivities. The Hornbill celebrations were taking place. That has been boycotted by people over there. And there is a great deal of tension on the ground. Can you tell me what you're hearing from the Mon district? Because today there was an attack by local people against the Assam Rifles as well in Mon. In fact, in firing, one person was killed.
It is an extremely unfortunate incident, very, very unexpected and unprecedented. On one side, when the talks are going so smoothly and peacefully, and we are on the threshold or on the anvil of a solution, hopefully, being announced very soon, and the state on the other side celebrating the 10 days Hornbill Festival, hosting so many tourists and guests from the country and abroad. This was least expected. It is not a time for any kind of operations to be undertaken. And least of all, how come armed forces from another state barge into the states of another, the state of Nagaland, and start operating? It has been very costly. This is a gross mistake on the part of whichever authority is supervising them. In Mon, what we see today is a natural chain reactions of the incidents that took place yesterday and today. So now we hope that the administration and the authorities concerned will be able to handle this situation.
The authorities concerned are the army, sir. This was a special forces unit. We're not identifying the name of the unit, but we've multiple sourced it to a particular unit. General Singh, in a situation like this, when you've got a unit which is involved in, you know, a horrific incident like this, obviously a big mistake, how does the army actually deal with a situation like this? Is the unit told to stand down until such time as investigations are over?
You see, at least the people who are involved in this...
Go ahead, General Singh. Sorry. Go ahead, General Singh, yes.
Yeah, certainly the people who are involved in this particular action, they would be totally stood down. They'll be confined to the unit till whatever investigations are on. And certainly the headquarters who are supervising that unit would be looking into every aspect. And to that extent, some activities of the unit would certainly be affected for the time being. Now, as far as the reaction in Mon and around is concerned, some tribal reaction was to be expected, and Eastern Nagaland comprises of 7 tribes, and I think in solidarity with each other, they have taken the action of even boycotting or moving out from the Hornbill Festival. So, unfortunate chain of these reactions, but that is how it is. But your question was specifically about the unit. Yes, it will be certainly in a state of much lesser activities till the complete investigations are over.
A final question to you, Mr. Chrome. And the question is this. You know, the peace talks were taking place. There was the Naga dialogue taking place. And then something like this happens. How many steps back do you believe we have taken in an attempt to try and resolve and bring peace to the area?
I think in many ways it is almost taking the whole step back to square one. Because during the last many 24, 25 years of negotiations, there has been many hopes, but at the same time, all these hopes have been turned into frustrations because of the government of India's handling the situation in a way that they will give positive signs today, but tomorrow, the next day, they go back on their word. And now, at the time when people are expecting something good will come finally, we again see a lot of frustration. And the people themselves, the Naga people, who are the silent majority, have a very strong suppressed frustrations for all these years. And finally, these things have been happening not only in the Mon district yesterday, but these things have been happening off and on here and there, every now and then. And every time the army will always go scot-free. They have never been punished at any point of time in the last many years, 50, 60 years of operations. In fact, the commanders who are leading this operation were rather promoted in so many cases. That is what we suspect. Otherwise, they will not have this obesity to continue.
Sir, General Singh, just a final question to you. I'm just trying to understand this. Is it not true that in AFSPA areas, a police force can charge the army, with murder or whatever it is, attempt to murder, but they cannot prosecute them without permission? So would prosecution, right, not be the next step which comes with the clearance of the Home Ministry at a later stage post investigations?
Is that question to me?
Yes, sir, General, go ahead.
Yes, you are very right. Based on the SIT report and the inquiries of the army, the next step would be somebody applying for the prosecution for sanction, sanction for prosecution. And if that is granted, depending on whoever is held guilty, then the normal course of law does follow.
I see. So that's a procedure, right? And there has to be an agreement at the level of the center. Let's see where this actually goes. At the moment, I think the only focus is on trying to ensure there is peace on the ground in those areas, or in fact, all of Nagaland, because it is very, very tense over there. Let us hope and pray that after this very unfortunate violence, there is a resumption of peace. I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, very much for being with us. Thank you very much indeed. There have been 21 Omicron cases now in India, which have been reported in Maharashtra and in Rajasthan combined. This is now getting to be a real worry as we try and learn more about this latest strain of COVID. So 21 Omicron cases Can India stem this surge? So let's just try and bring you a few graphics, a few details before we go to our panel on what exactly we are looking at. So let's take a look at that situation first in Maharashtra. Let's bring up those graphics on Maharashtra to give you an idea of what exactly is the situation over there. So in Maharashtra, there have been, as a result of travelers coming into the state, there has been an increase in the numbers. So here's what I have for you. 6 cases in Pimpri Chinchwad, 1 in Pune. 6 of a family have tested positive for an Omicron variant. 3 out of 6 family members had come from Nigeria. A 47-year-old man in Pune has tested positive for Omicron. The patient had traveled to Finland last month. All 7 patients are stable. That's the best news thus far. If there's a silver lining, it is that. In Jaipur, 9 Omicron cases, 9 of a family have tested positive. Some of them, these family members that returned from South Africa, all 9 patients have been admitted to hospital. All contacts are being traced and tested. Well, joining us now, we've got 2 great guests, Dr. Sudhir Bhandari, member of the State Advisory Board of the Rajasthan Government for COVID, and Dr. Rahul Pandit, member of the National Task Force and the member of the Maharashtra COVID Task Force. Thank you both very much for being with us. Dr. Bhandari, let me come to you first. This family of 9 who've tested positive for Omicron, when did they return from South Africa, sir? And has the government been able to complete the tracing, the contact tracing of whoever they may have met? Sir, I think you're on mute. You're on mute, sir. You need to unmute yourself.
In fact, the strength of our COVID management program in Rajasthan is a trace, track, and the treat.
Yes.
The moment a week before these 4 foreigners who arrived from South Africa, and though they tested negative in their own country, but we retested them, and immediately we kept under observation and quarantine, and today their genome sequencing confirmed that they are Omicron positive. These people came in contact with around 35 people, and all were traced, all were tested, and 5 of their contacts were also found to be Omicron positive today. These were already under quarantine, under observation, and under treatment. In fact, these 4, which has been found to be Omicron positive on genome sequencing, they are practically in recovery mode. They are practically asymptomatic and they are near normal with the 5 days of treatment.
So Dr. Bhandari, just trying to understand, 9 is the total number of people, 4
yes.
from the family and 5 contacts, right?
Yes.
And you've traced all of them.
Yes.
And all of them are more or less okay. The symptoms are mild.
Yes. Yes.
Were they vaccinated, sir, in their country?
Yes. In fact, they were vaccinated in their country and they were vaccinated, but even then they had symptoms, and in spite of that they contacted the reinfection, and that could be one of the reasons that they had a mild to moderate symptoms only.
Right. Let's just take a look at the Maharashtra situation. Dr. Pandit, 6 cases in Pimpri Chinchwad, 1 in Pune. 6 of a family have tested positive for the Omicron variant. 3 out of the 6 members had come from Nigeria. So again, sir, A, were they vaccinated, members of this family? And B, have you been able to trace the contacts, you know, whoever they met?
Yes, so I think this overall response, not just of Maharashtra, but of the country, if you look at Vishnu, it is a very, very reasonably better public health response than what we have seen in the last year or so. I think within no time in the last 7 or 8 days, people have been isolated. Measures have been put at the airport to isolate these passengers who are coming from the high-risk countries. And we are now getting genome sequencing reports at a much faster rate than what we were ever getting. So I think similar things have been done in Maharashtra. We are testing and tracing the contacts. I think the contact tracing has already happened. And samples are basically awaited for all the people who have come in contact with these 7 individuals in Pune. I don't have the latest number as of this evening, but this was somewhere in the early evening that I actually got to know about that. So I would still wait probably for the exact numbers to come, that how many contacts have been isolated to be awaiting their results as
sure.
of now. But I am very happy with the way the public health response has been. I honestly, as a doctor, it assures us that people are being screened, even though they have come before the Omicron variant was actually detected. We are actually looking at the passengers coming right from 1st of November into the country and doing a testing and tracing for their contacts who may have come in their contact.
Dr. Bhandari, what is the condition of these individuals who have tested positive?
Yes, they are improving. They did have mild symptoms 4 days before when they came to us. And standard COVID protocol, we applied them in the treatment management, their isolation. In fact,
would you call this mild disease, sir, in your medical terminology?
It was a mild to moderate disease, and they are responding well. Yes.
Okay. Dr. Pandit, in the case of this family, who'd come from Nigeria, 3 of the 6 family members, what is the state, the level of their disease?
I think all of them are asymptomatic except one. One has got some mild symptoms. So that's again the silver lining. I think most of them are showing only mild disease, if at all we have to be worried about at the moment. But Vishnu, I don't know what stage of illness are they. So I still need to get to understand how many days of symptoms they had before, and are we in the first week or are we in the second week of the disease? It looks like that we have progressed from the first week to the second from timelines, but I need to have a confirmation on that.
So if that is the case, Dr. Pandit, then that means the worst would be over in terms of the symptoms increasing, right? So that's
correct.
What you're hoping for at this stage. Let's hope
that's
the case. You know, Dr. Pandit and Dr. Bhandari, any of you can answer this. I know we can't get ahead of ourselves, but the fact is that quite a few people, 21 across these two states, the symptoms are mild, along the lines of what's been said outside the country. So that gives us hope. Any one of you?
Yeah. In fact, I must tell you, we are one of the countries where the vaccination drive has been very intense. Almost 90%+ people have taken single vaccine, and 50%+ people have taken second vaccine. All the medical literature confirms that this vaccination may definitely protect people from severe critical illness. Although there are certain issues with Omicron, that there is a reported increased transmissibility, there could be possibility higher viral load or reinfection, but those who are doubly vaccinated definitely will protect them for critical and severe illness. Only the concern is that so far in South Africa also, it has been less symptomatic. Younger people have been affected more and critical presentations have been less. So in our country with almost fast vaccination drive, we can be hopeful that this variant of COVID-19 will be. Sir, I'm just interrupting you now
because I'm completely out of time on this program. Unfortunately, we'll talk about this again. But this is good news so far in terms of how they are recovering and the extent of their illness. Out of time, we need to take this short break.